Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you, my name is Tim Barton. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vine. This morning, I was just thinking about kind of getting going with this sermon, and I thought back to when I was sometime in middle school. My father looked at me and said, "Son, let's go. I'm going to teach you how to change the oil in your truck." And he goes, "It's simple." I said, "Okay." So we go out to start changing the oil, and bear with me if you don't know what it's like to change the oil. You'll still get the point. I go out to change the oil, and we drain the oil from the truck. And then in doing so, I've got oil on my hands. And then it comes time to change the oil filter. And my father says, "Reach up, just unscrew it." And so I go up to do it, and there's oil on my hands. And these things are very tight usually, and I'm trying to unscrew it. My hand's just slipping on it, right? And I'm still trying to do it. He said, "Go ahead, you can get it." And I'm trying to do it, and it's still slipping on it. And I looked at him, and I said, "I thought you said this was simple." He said, "It is simple, but it's not easy." And then he handed me the oil wrench, and I was able to get it off. I bring that up this morning. I use that this morning because what I want us to talk about today, what I think we see in God's Word today, is that the gospel is simple. Not easy, but the gospel is simple, and it's for all who believe. Okay, so that's our focus this morning. Before we read the passage, we're going to be in Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 13. But before we read the passage, just a quick reminder of where we've been. We've been in Romans in the January, the winter time frame, the last few years, if you haven't been with us. And what we've seen what we've seen through the context of Romans is that Paul is talking to both the morally good religious people, as well as the morally bad, irreligious people. And he's saying to both groups, everyone needs the gospel of Jesus. Everyone has the same desperate need for that as anyone else. And so what we saw as we've come back now into, we've come into it this year in Romans 9, starting in Romans 9 and 10, we saw that God's love will not fail. And Paul takes time to bring that out because it seems to those around him that God's love has failed. But he goes through, God's love will not fail. We've seen that God is patient in that. And then last week, we switched into Romans chapter 10. Where in Romans chapter 10, Paul's been talking about in chapter 9 how God's love has not failed because God is a sovereign God. And then in Romans chapter 10, we come in and we see it from a human perspective of how we are responsible for our own belief, recognizing God is sovereign and all those things from a human perspective, how we are also at the same time responsible for our own unbelief. And so what we're going to see today is that Paul continues to address the responsibility that we have for that unbelief. He does it by addressing the Jewish people, but he's also addressing everyone. And we're going to see, again, that the gospel is simple and that it's for all who believe. This is important today if you are a follower of Jesus. It's important if you're wondering if you're doing enough. It's important as we think about living as a Christian in the secular world. And it's important if you're wondering about Christianity and its claims and you're just trying to figure that out today. So let's look together, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. And I remind you that this is God's word. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the gospel is simple, and it's for all who believe. And our first point this morning is just that, the gospel is simple. All right, we're going to see that in verses 5 through 10. But Paul is telling the people, so the message is clear and it always has been clear. It is simple, it always has been simple. But the first thing we see under that is that you're making this complicated. You're making this complicated. Verse 5, he says, Moses writes about the law that is, or the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. So Paul now, as he's been doing throughout Romans, you know, if you've been with us, you're probably picking up on that, but he's been doing this throughout Romans. But Paul again here is correcting what the people thought about the intention of the law in the Old Testament, as Moses wrote about the righteousness based on the law. And Paul is saying, he's reaffirming again, yes, if someone could keep the law perfectly, they would be saved and they would gain eternal life. So he lays that out. If they could, they could attain true righteousness, right standing with God, eternal life. But as we saw last week, kind of in review last week, it's not been impossible for anyone to attain righteousness by our effort since sin entered the world. And you remember when sin entered the world? With our first parents, Adam and Eve. And so therefore, all are conceived with a sinful nature and all have sinned. But because those Paul was teaching still did not understand that the law never could actually save them, so they still didn't understand that, or more to the point that their effort in keeping the law couldn't save them. And because the point of the law and the sacrificial system we see in the Old Testament all along was to point to the need for the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, because of both of those things, they were missing that the gospel is simple, and instead they were relying on their own efforts. They were really making this complicated. And it kept them from seeing through the eyes of faith. So Paul then, verses 6 and 7, he personifies faith to teach it clearly here. Verse 6 says, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. And we're like, what in the world are you talking about, Paul? Well, he's actually quoting Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 14, or verses 11 through 14. But let me give you a little background of that section of what Moses is doing, because that's important for us to understand what Paul's doing here. Moses has just, at that point in Deuteronomy, has just told Israel that they will return from God. He's telling them, you're going to turn from God. And when you do, the result of that is going to be a curse and punishment. But he also tells them that the Lord is going to circumcise your heart. That is, the Lord is going to work in your heart, not based on your own effort. The Lord is going to do this. And when he does that, many will love him with all their heart and their soul and live. And Moses is telling the people, even then, now go all the way back to Deuteronomy 30, Moses is telling the people there, this isn't so hard. This isn't too hard for you. And he tells them, if you go back and read it, same quote, you don't have to ascend into heaven and bring this. You don't have to go get it and find it yourself in your own strength. You don't have to go down into the abyss. And at the time, if you think about the known world at the time, they didn't have the maps of the world that we have where you can see the world. And so it's kind of like beyond the horizon or into the depths, or for us in our words today, to a galaxy far, far away, right? Moses says, it's not that complicated. Come to the Lord. It's the Lord who does this work in your heart so that you might love him with all your heart. And so Paul quotes that because what he's doing is showing that the righteousness that comes through faith doesn't come through our crazy efforts. You don't need to ascend, this is what he's saying, you don't need to ascend into heaven, and then he adds in, and go find Jesus and bring him back. And you don't need to go into the abyss, whether that's to some span of the globe where you're trying to go on some pilgrimage to go purge yourself of sin, or maybe even more literally, going into death to deal with your own sin. Paul's saying, no, Jesus has taken care of that. Jesus has done that. Now let me put it in our words. Apply it to our hearts. Paul's saying, you're making this complicated because simple faith in Jesus doesn't allow you to rest in your own effort. And we don't like that. We don't really like that. Some of us have a hard time receiving that. Simple faith in Jesus doesn't allow us to rest in our own effort. And then we're like, okay, so what do I do? Well, what we end up doing is making the gospel complicated. How, I had to ask this question of myself this week and again this morning, how are you making the gospel complicated? Let me give you a few examples, and these are just examples, right? You've got to search your own heart, ask God to search your heart and show you, but here's a few examples. Maybe it is, I'm making it complicated because I think if I could just see a miracle, or if I could just find a sign, or if I could just accomplish something that I know I couldn't do on my own. Notice all the I's in that statement. Or maybe it's if I could just get more information so there's no room for doubt. Or maybe it's if I could just change this one thing about myself, this addiction, this secret thing that no one knows about me, this thing in my life that seems unsurmountable. See, here's the thing. The reality is, we don't want this to rest in our own effort, but we kind of think we do. Because we think pretty highly of mankind's ability. Even if we don't think that highly of our own, we think pretty highly of mankind's ability. And we kind of think if we put our minds to it, we can do anything. Now, just a little aside, I was watching the Olympics yesterday and watching the snowboard big air and watch those guys go up and do all the flips and things and land, and they do all that without killing themselves. And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't do that no matter how hard I worked at it. Right? But in all seriousness here, we think pretty highly of mankind's ability. Or we think lowly of ourselves and we subconsciously want to have a reason to question ourselves and beat ourselves up. In either case, when we do this, we are complicating the gospel. It might play out in perfectionism, and I don't mean the theology of perfectionism that some of you may be familiar with, but the practical outworking in our life. I have to make myself perfect, or I have to keep my image good before others, or I've got to control my surroundings, or I've got to use the right filters and control what people see about me, because then I can have this sense of calm and control, maybe peace. Or it plays out in defeatism. I can't live up to my own or anyone else's expectations of me, so forget it. I quit. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't overcomplicate this. When you rest in your own ability, your own effort, when I do that, we're making the gospel complicated. And frankly, we'll find ourselves either exhausted and miserable eventually, or with a false sense of feeling pretty good about ourselves. Faith, Paul says here, is not making it complicated. Actually, faith makes this simple. It's our second subpoint here. Look at verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. All right, so Paul's still quoting here from Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. And he's making the connection again for the Jewish listeners. But for all that, that way back, even way back when Moses said this, right? Even then, Moses knew that faith is simply what you say with your mouth that you already believe in your heart. And so, what is this word of faith that we proclaim? What is this simple message of the gospel? We see it in verses 9 and 10. He says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, there's been a whole lot written about these two verses. A whole lot said about these two verses. And so I want to say one thing so we don't get confused here as we address it. And that is that this is not a two-step process. Right, this is the two sides of the same coin. Confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart. Same thing that Moses was showing is that you confess with your mouth what you already believe in your heart. And then the result is this is two sides of the same coin as well. It says, with your mouth you confess and are justified. With your heart you believe you'll be saved. This justified and saved, it's the same result. Not two different things. We're justified. We're made right with God. We're saved. All right, so with that, Paul's point in all of this is that the result, being justified, being saved, comes through the gift of faith. That makes us right with God. And so now notice what we confess and believe. Right, he's real clear here in what we confess. First thing we confess is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Kyrios. I don't always share the Greek words with you, but sometimes they're really poignant to what we're trying to say here. That word is the Greek word used to translate the Hebrew word for the personal name for God, the Hebrew word Yahweh. We see it in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," Christ the Kyrios, Christ the Yahweh. It's actually used, so just a little side note for you, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was very circulated at this time that Paul's writing this. It uses this word in the Old Testament when it translates the Old Testament 6,000 times. Okay, so they would know what is meant by this word, this Lord, this Kyrios is saying, what are we then confessing? We're confessing that he is above all spiritual powers. Hang with me here. This is going to take a minute. All right? He's above all spiritual powers. He's above everyone else on this earth. He is the one that is in control. He is the one with supreme authority over the world, over the church, and over our lives. So when we say he's Lord, it's not just words we're saying. We're saying something. It's different than what we often see in American Christianity. It's different than the fire insurance Jesus. You know what I mean by that? It's like, well, I'm going to kind of do what I want to in life, but just in case things get bad, I've got Jesus. Or the make things easier Jesus. And yeah, I do kind of want Jesus. I might need a little Jesus over here on the side because this is a tough life. I need some help here. And Jesus as Lord is different than the I want to fix our country the way we want it Jesus. It means that Jesus is Lord above us. Jesus is Lord over our denominations. Jesus is Lord over our political affiliations. He's not an add-on. He's not an add-on. And so we're saying we're going to follow him, follow what he says as our allegiance before anything else. And when we do, and this isn't a maybe, it's a promise, when we live our lives seeking to follow what He says, that is going to put us at odds with other fixes we have for our lives. It's going to put us at odds with other places we put our hope. If you follow Jesus long enough, that is going to happen. It also says that we confess or believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. It's become popular in some circles to say, well, it's not necessarily important that Jesus died and raised from the dead. Just follow Jesus. It was great teaching. If you do that, it'll make your life better. Let me say this. You do not have Christianity if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Does not exist if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. It's vital. Because only in His death could He pay for our sins. Only in His resurrection does He defeat the power of sin. It is vital. And so we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. We believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead. And when He uses this word heart here, this word heart is actually about the, in the Hebrew usage of that word, the word heart is like our whole being, from the inner core of who we are, this whole being. And so it's not just saying, well, I acknowledge that Christ lived and I accept this teaching. It's a belief that we are not resting in our own effort, but that our trust is moving away from our own effort. That our belief and our hope, our whole being, is learning to trust in what Jesus has done for me. And then when we find that it's not, we don't say, well, yeah, I'm trusting Jesus and this leader or that leader. Or I'm trusting Jesus in this experience. Or I'm trusting Jesus in this job. Instead, when we find our whole being is not trusting in Jesus, and by the way, if we're real with ourselves, we're going to find that consistently at different times as we ask the Lord to search our hearts, what do? That's when we ask God to renew our faith and trust in Him. Recognizing that finding ourselves not fully trusting in Him grieves our hearts. We repent. And we ask Him to renew our faith and trust in what He has done for us. Paul says in verse 10, that's how we're justified. That's how we're saved. That's how we live the Christian life. Then in verse 11 it says, for Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Commenting on that, Pastor Theologian Tim Keller said, Paul said, we will never regret surrendering all of our hopes and all of the control of our lives away from ourselves and into Christ's hands. The gospel's simple. And the gospel is for all who believe. That's our second main point this morning, and I promise it is much, much shorter. Look at verse 11. Again, it says, for the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who will be saved? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Everyone. No matter where you're from, no matter who your parents are, no matter your ethnicity, no matter what you've accomplished or not accomplished, no matter how much money you have or don't have, no matter how good you think you've been, no matter how bad you think you've been, no matter what you've believed in the past, no matter how well you currently know or don't know the Bible, no matter who you know or don't know, y'all know I could go on, right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I was already mentioned that I was watching the Olympics yesterday, and I had this moment where I was like, ooh, I don't like that guy. I hope he does really bad because he was from a country I didn't want to win. And as I sat there, as I did that, I just had this moment of, what if he's a follower of Jesus? And I don't use that to say don't pull for your teams and stuff, but where is our allegiance? Where is our allegiance? You see, we're united to Jesus, and so we are united with every other follower of Jesus throughout this world. Who is saved? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And if you don't believe it, there's a picture of heaven in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. And here's what it says. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The gospel is simple, and it's for all who believe. I want to give us just a moment as we prepare for the Lord's table this morning. If you're resting in your own effort, take time this morning where he's shown you that. Confess that before him. And know you're confessing that before a God who hears you through the work of Jesus. And if you're here today and you're saying, yeah, I know the gospel is for this person and this person and this person, but that person that's that claims to be a Christian at work that I don't like, confess that before the Lord. And then in just a moment, we're going to come to the Lord's table, which is a place that shows us the simplicity of the gospel, the beauty of the gospel that's for all people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, when we are confronted with our own efforts, when we're confronted with our sin, Lord, it grieves our hearts and it can be heavy. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning that this truth from your word applies to all those who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, Lord, we praise you for that this morning. Lord, you tell us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, surrendering to you, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, because of that, we celebrate this morning what you have done to draw us, to draw a people to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.